1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
And we're very, very proud this hour to have with us a special guest, Jay Santis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, kicking off a series that we hope will be running indefinitely on our show, An Hour With. And, of course, this hour, An Hour With Jay Santis.
Whenever the laws of any state
Jay, of course,
broken,
is with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and Jay, very happy to have you with us.
It's my pleasure, Phil, and we want to thank all of you, the Phil Hendry Show, for having us on. For the Citizens Auxiliary Police, just want to
do you're in the command center right now?
I am in the command center right now, Phil, and we have some... right now, Citizens Auxiliary Police is comprised primarily of 8 officers. We work around the clock. Wherever we can, whenever we can, try and...
Well, what exactly does the Citizens Auxiliary Police do?
Well, what we do, Phil, is we assist the police in a variety of policing duties. We are Auxiliary Police Department. We were formed in 1996 by Major Elvis Newton because we felt there was a need to assist the police in policing different areas. We don't carry weapons, per se, because technically we're not allowed to, but... we do have the right of citizen's arrest, and we see the police as being odd man, so we try to get in there and help them out whenever we can.
And I know that there's been a lot of criticism of you guys.
Well, that's ridiculous. That's stupid. You know, the fact that...
The criticism of you guys is that you're not real police, so you can't really arrest anybody.
Oh, we have the right to detain, at least to ask questions of people. There's just a lot of areas the police have not been able to get involved in, we've tried to get involved in.
All right, well, our number is 1-800-449-8686. You've been gracious enough on our program to talk to a lot of listeners down through the years, Jay, and today we thought we'd have on people who would just have general questions of you and the Citizens Auxiliary Police to find out a little bit more about you. Your organization was founded by Major Elvis Newton.
That's correct.
And yet you're a brigadier general.
That is correct, yeah.
Okay, does he have a higher rank than you?
Major Elvis Newton is our leader. He is the supreme commander of all... Citizens Auxiliary Police operatives.
Okay, so how come he's called Major?
That was the Major Elvis Newton. That was his rank in the Army when he was discharged, and he has retained that rank. He retains that rank through Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Yeah, but how can he be? Why isn't he a general too?
Because he's Major Newton is our commander.
All right. Well, you're a brigadier general.
That's correct. Yeah.
And you also have the guy that's under you is a vice admiral. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you're the brigadier general, the second in command.
No, that would be the third in command. There's the command structure, Phil, if I can help you out.
Go ahead.
Command structure is Major Elvis Newton, then Brigadier General Jay Santis, and then Vice Admiral Roy Hutchins.
Okay, and he's an admiral, and you're a general.
Yeah, if I can help you out,
well, I don't understand it, but that's the command structure, and that's fine.
That is our unique command structure. Works very well for us. Every organization is independent, and every unit is independent, and whatever command structure works for them. But Major Newton is who we answer to, and Vice Admiral Hutchins takes his, directive from me.
A Brigadier General. And you were just recently promoted.
That is correct.
What was your rank?
I was a sub-commander. And, Phil, you're a civilian. That's why you probably don't get a lot of what goes on.
You were a sub-commander.
Sub-commander, Santis. Then you go from sub-commander to vice admiral and then to brigadier general.
So you jumped the rank of vice admiral.
That's correct. Went straight to brigadier general. It's one of the happiest days of my life.
All right, I'm going to get some phone calls here. Jay Santis is with us, an hour with Jay Santis. The number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Mike. Mike, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Jay.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Good. Question for you.
Yes, sir.
What do you think you've been successful in as far as your job? What cases have you solved? And how do you feel you've done so far in your years as Jay Santis?
Well, in my years as Jay Santis, that goes 36 years.
Yeah.
I'm assuming your question has to do with Citizens Auxiliary Police work.
Yes.
What we've done, Mike... we have been successful in, I think, first of all, maintaining the safety of our highways. One of the very first operations that we conducted this year, as you know, was any woman who is entering menopause, we were successful in trying to get those women off the road. And,
why do you need to get women who are entering menopause off the road?
Well, it's kind of a very touchy subject, but one of the indications that a woman's entering menopause is she gets vaginal dryness, and there is some itching that goes on. We didn't think that was safe. And so,
was this where you were taking women out of the car and
We were doing vaginal checks, yes, we were.
Out on the street?
Yes, sir.
Where were the women?
Generally, we just have to use the hood of the car.
Who was conducting this exam?
There was a female officer present.
Who was conducting the exam?
Well, you can't have anybody lower than a vice admiral. I mean...
So Vice Admiral Roy Hutchins?
Or myself.
Or Major Elvis Newton?
Any one of the three of us have to conduct the vaginal exam, yes, sir. But we did have a female officer present. The other thing, Mike, we did a lot of flare drops. Flare drops are to discourage the use of certain highways. So if you can make a traffic jam bad enough, people will stay away from the area. So we would do flare drops and narrow a five-lane highway down to one, make the traffic so intolerable, people would just turn around and go home.
Well, I must say, you guys have done very good.
We're trying to save lives. That's the number one thing we do is save lives.
Well, you guys are doing a good job. Keep it up.
All right, thanks, Mike. You guys have taken some heat, certainly over the years, with the some of the things that you've done, and
well, there's no more heat. I think the police. I think when you get into law enforcement, you're used to it. You know, before you conduct, for instance, a vaginal exam on a woman out in the street, that you're going to take some heat.
Yeah, just a little bit, huh?
Well, you take a little bit of heat for that, but you do because you know you're trying to make things better for everybody. So.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Jake on the Phil Hendry Show.
We walk a fine line.
Good evening.
Yes, sir.
Good evening, Phil. How are you doing?
Fine.
Is Jay there?
We walk a fine line.
Jay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, just two quick questions for you. First question, been seeing a lot about that Chandra Levy case, and I guess what I'm wondering is, I know that you're based in California, but and that's all going on in Washington. Is the
That's correct.
Citizens Auxiliary Police going to be doing anything to sort of address that, first of all?
Well, first of all, we're very fortunate, Jake. In the District of Columbia, we do have a Citizens Auxiliary Police affiliate organization, the District of Columbia Volunteer Riders, and those are, I think, some very valuable assets to D.C. Police. Secondly, we have been watching the news and monitoring the news. On the news this evening, Chandra Levy's mother was seen bringing some garbage cans in from the street, and she was talking to the press. I thought it was interesting that people just allowed that to happen.
And it, well, what do you mean allowed it to happen?
Well, she was bringing a can in from the street, and yet no officer present thought to check inside the can. And that's the thing that...
Well, what are you talking about, man?
Phil, in a case like this, you've got to check every possible lead. And
that's her mother bringing a garbage can in from the street.
Would you want to look in the can?
What, did her mother kill her?
No, I didn't say her mother killed her, but you've got to check every possible lead. They look around. Did they look in the trunk of cars? Are they looking? Dan Rather hasn't done any reporting on this at all. Dan Rather has done no reporting on the Chandra Levy case whatsoever. What's that about? Anybody checked his car?
What, he's got something to hide, huh?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying this is the kind of a question that I would ask.
Look in the can that Chandra Levy's mother's bringing in from the street.
That's the first thing I thought of. That's your instinct as a law enforcement officer. She's bringing in a garbage can. Oops, Chandra Levy's missing. Let's look in that garbage. Just take a peek around, that's all.
All right, Jay, 1-800-449.
I got the feeling you think I'm kind of stupid. Or...
No, I don't think you're stupid. I think your law enforcement methods, your queries, your interest is a little...
I'm in law enforcement, and it's about saving lives. You're not.
All right, well, then maybe I don't get it. But I don't think I'd insult the mother so much as to look inside the garbage can to make sure her kid isn't there. 1-800... Dan Rather hasn't reported on it. Why don't they look in the trunk of his car? 1-800-449-8686. This is an hour with Jay Levy. This is an hour with... Who's Jay Levy? Jay Levy used to be the manager of Dr. Demento. This is an hour with Jay Santos. We were talking about Chandra Levy on The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendrick.
Welcome back. We're with Brigadier General Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. He's been a frequent guest on our program. And this is an hour with Jay Santos, and you can call and ask him questions concerning his job as a Brigadier General with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And I've been asking you a little bit about this command structure, the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're going to get back to some phone calls. Can you tell me the command structure of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, which is a volunteer police organization?
Oh, we're trying to save lives, Phil. People say we're a volunteer organization. We're just not trying to save lives. And we will assist the police wherever possible, yeah.
All right, you got Major Elvis Newton.
We got Major Elvis Newton, Brigadier General Jay Santos. Our Vice Admiral is Roy Hutchins, Sub-Commander Bill Kiesling, Commander Craig Kitchen.
All right, now hold on. Sub-Commander and then Commander?
That is correct. That's the, that is the order of rank.
So a Sub-Commander is higher than a Commander?
That's what, isn't that, I can double-check that. But
yeah, ordinarily a Commander is higher than a Sub-Commander.
No, that's not what I've got here on our... on our roster. Our roll call today, we did roll call, and Bill Kiesling's our sub-commander, and then...
Craig Kitchen answers to him.
That's correct. Then we have Patrolman First Class, Patrolman First Class Tim Kelly, Patrolman Second Class Neil Saavedra, and then we have Patrolman Third Class, Patrolman Fourth Class, and Patrolman Fifth Class.
Who are they?
We don't have anybody yet to fill that out, so...
Oh, you're still looking for people?
We are. We're looking for qualified people, see, the sub-commander, here I got it figured out now, the sub-commander is under the vice-admiral, so that's why he's not higher than the commander, although he is, but he's sub to the vice-admiral.
Got it. Okay, I think I understand, even though he's a vice-admiral.
Right.
Which generally means second in command to who, the brigadier general?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, and the major is the head of all of them.
That's right.
And you've got a patrolman first class, patrolman second class, patrolman third class, patrolman fourth class.
Right.
And patrolman fifth class.
And we're going to be adding patrolman sixth class and seventh class.
Well, how many patrolmen? Okay. 1-800-449-8686.
I'll answer any question you got, Phil.
Never mind. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Vance. Hi, Vance. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Hi, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Jay.
How are you doing today, Vance?
Thanks for all you do, Jay.
Thank you very much.
I've heard you mention the three-point takedown. Could you explain that?
Right, the three-point takedown, Vance, is one of the most valuable assets any officer of the Citizens Auxiliary Police can utilize. This is when we have a suspect. He is giving us a hard time, perhaps is not easily taken into custody. We will utilize three-point takedown.
What are the 3 points?
Well, 3 points basically are... Point one, one of the officers stands directly in front of the suspect. Point two, another officer gets on his hands and knees behind the suspect's legs, just below so he can't see him.
Yeah.
And point three, then you push him.
So, and then he falls over the guy.
Falls over the guy that was kneeling down.
That's the three-point takedown.
We have used that to great effect, Vance, in a great many apprehensions. So you stand there, and you go, hey, look at that. It looks like a bird. And he looks up, and then you push him, and he falls over the guy that's kneeling down behind him.
Okay.
Well, I never know. I might need to use that someday, so thanks.
I think it's something that's you certainly do want to take into consideration. It's very dangerous. I would suggest that you do it under the auspices of a trained professional. But by all means, Vance, it is a very good self-defense technique.
Great.
Yeah. Hey, have you ever done this one?
What's that?
What is it called when you wave your hand across a guy's face back and forth and then hit him on the nose?
That's also, that's a martial arts technique that we have utilized.
Okay. Thank you very much, Vance, for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Wayne on the Phil Hendry Show. Wayne?
Yeah, Mr. Santos, very
yes, sir.
Big honor to talk with you, sir.
You know,
so I live down in South Florida. I've been here for about 15 years now. I've seen Hurricane Andrew come through here, Hurricane Floyd a couple years ago. And being from Chicago and Toronto, I'm used to keeping my door open. I'm used to not being ripped off by people. There's all this unscrupulous behavior going on down here, overcharging for roofing, siding, people getting ripped off, a lot of looting going on. I'd like to know how your organization might handle those types of situations. And I mean,
so
it's that kind of year down here.
Well, you said a lot of looting going on?
Yeah, a lot of looting during the hurricane.
Oh, during the hurricane. I just thought it just people were looting in general.
Yeah.
I've never been to Miami. I hear it's very beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
It's very nice down there, yeah.
I thought for whatever reason...
But they tend to loot?
No, they don't tend to loot. They loot during hurricanes.
All right. What was your question, Wayne?
I'd just like to know how the auxiliary police might handle the unscrupulous behavior, the people gouging people for roofing, for siding, the looting that might be going on after a catastrophe like this, like when Hurricane Andrew came back through about 7-8 years ago. People seem to want to overcharge. There's looting going on. And I'd just like to know, basically, Mr. Santos, how the auxiliary police would handle maybe those types of situations.
Well, obviously, looting is something that the police themselves would certainly be more equipped to deal with in terms
right.
of the... is your door locked?
Right now, it's not.
All right. One of the nice things you might want to do is lock the door.
Yeah.
You could get a padlock, get a master lock at any Ace Hardware store or any of your do-it centers.
What about the price gouging?
Well,
what about the price gouging, Mr. Santos?
Price
gouging. People overcharging.
They're overcharging for what, sir?
The roofing. I mean, a hurricane is going to, you know, do devastation through an area, and the roof is going to be blown off, siding, and people are just up their prices 300-400%. And is there any way that we can stop that type of thing?
Well, certainly that's something that I don't know that the Citizens Auxiliary Police could handle, Phil, in terms of roofing. This is an economic crime, more or less.
Well, if you have a lot of these guys going through the neighborhoods and going, hey, they're advertising out in the open, right, Wayne?
Yeah, they are. They are.
The best thing we can do is check their business.
They seem to be getting away with it.
Right, check their business license. But if you don't have a roof on your house and you need to get a roof on your house, best thing to do is go ahead and pay that price. Get the roof up on the house.
Well, if they charge $2,000 for a roof and then they come by and charge $9,000 for it after a hurricane, it doesn't seem quite fair.
No. Are you paying the price?
I pay what I have to pay once
right,
the
well,
hurricane comes through and devastates my house.
I definitely stop doing that.
Well,
okay,
I
sir, thank you very much. 1-800-44...
Don't pay if they're charging too much.
Yeah. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Wayne on the Phil Hendry Show. Wayne?
General, I was just wondering how long it took you to get through the ranks to attain the rank of general, and if along the way if you won any medals for valor or heroism, anything?
Well, thank you, Wayne, for that question. I began Citizens Auxiliary Police. Major Elvis Newton handpicked me, as a matter of fact, to be a part of the startup corps for Citizens Auxiliary Police in 96.
Now, where did you guys meet?
We met at a place called Jumbo's Clown Room up in the valley. And we met there.
A strip bar.
Well, I want to say that.
So you and Major Elvis Newton met at Jumbo's Clown Room. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I started out as a patrolman 7th class. And with very hard work, I worked my way up to patrolman...
6th class?
That's right. Went to 6th class, and then I worked my way up to patrolman...
Well, let me save you. Went to 5th class, 4th class...
3rd class, 2nd class, and 1st class. And then a great day came.
You were elevated to commander.
I became a commander and then a sub-commander, and then I jumped over vice admiral and became a brigadier general.
And all of that took you how long?
That took me about 3 weeks. And I have
3 weeks to jump from patrolman 7th class to a brigadier general.
Well, I went up through the ranks very quickly. I was in officer training.
Oh, you were in officer training. I didn't know that they had an officer training in Citizens Auxiliary Police. Well, congratulations on that. And the other question was the medals for valor.
I did win 3 medals for valor. One was our Purple Heart with clusters and the Medal of Valor and Honor.
How many medals is that? That's
one medal.
Purple Heart with clusters, the Medal of Valor and Honor is one medal.
You get that medal. And I got that, Phil, affecting the three-step takedown on a nun that... refused to submit to a vaginal exam. What?
I can't believe... So you get the Purple Heart with clusters, Medal of Valor and Honor.
Well, I won a Medal of Honor for Valor, which was called the Medal of... it was actually called the Medal of Cleanliness, and that was one in which we were all shared in. And that was during one of our flare drops, I think. I forget what it was. We were bothering some Mexicans or something. It was... You know, it all blends together after a while. You know, you have enough beers after a shift, and...
You just don't remember what you did during the shift.
That's right.
All right, Jay Santos, who is the winner of... Oh, here's the facts. Brigadier General Jay Santos, the winner of the Purple Heart with Clusters and the Medal of Valor and Honor and a Medal of Valor for being honorable. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back on the Phil Hendry Show with Brigadier General Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
We're back with Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. An hour with Jay Santos, taking your questions about what it takes to be a Brigadier General of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, a volunteer police organization. You guys are no stranger to controversy, though, and no stranger to problems.
These people don't get it about, you know, what's going on out there. And
but you guys were going door to door and checking to see if people's videotapes were rewound and if they were overdue. And
we did, because that is a, it may sound like not much of a problem, but that's a serious problem with a lot of videotape rental companies.
But you're going into people's homes without a warrant.
All we're doing is take a peek around. And it's,
yeah, but you use that phrase, taking a peek around, to circumvent the law. You go into a person's life. Isn't that true?
So that is a very harsh of appraisal and assessment of what we do. We do not circumvent the law. All we ask, we take a little bit of a peek around, make sure there's a safety check done on the house. You got a videotape that isn't rewound. You got a videotape that's overdue. Won't take a peek around.
Yeah, but you were looking for marital aids and stuff. And
well, that's an indication we think it's some kind of a perhaps aberrant personality. That's all.
Well, that's all I'm just saying is that these were some of the problems that we'd heard about. 1-800-449-8686. James, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi there, Phil.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hi, General Santos. Good evening.
Good evening, James.
My question is regarding, first of all, the recruitment process that you have to join an organization like the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Correct.
Do you actively recruit, or do new prospective members need to be referred by current members? How does that work?
A lot of the people we do actively recruit, we will recruit from the area. We are primarily South Bay, Los Angeles, California, which means there are people in the neighborhood. And California is just coming out of recession right now, James. We do have a lot of young people who are looking to make a difference. We do, of course, require a physical test, and that is administered at the Citizens Auxiliary Police Substation.
What is that physical test?
Well, anybody who wants to be in the Citizens Auxiliary Police is required to give a stool, urine, and semen sample. We must complete a 100-yard dash in under 20 seconds, and we must be able to do what we call a standing long jump no less than 8 feet. Now,
that sounds... A standing long jump of what?
No less than 8 feet.
Well, General Santos, are there
no
psychological
to do
requirements
that, by
as
the way.
Well?
I beg your pardon?
Are there psychological tests or requirements as well?
No, we do not have any.
So you'll
take any psycho?
No. No, we won't. We just, I didn't, to be honest with you, James, I never thought about it.
Well, it's something to think about. All right, James, thank you for your call. No psychological testing. Now, what's a semen sample for?
That's what they do. Just any bodily fluid will test. Anything that's liquid that comes out of you.
You just run a test.
That's correct.
Testing for what?
God, I don't know. I just, we look under a microscope at it, take a drop of it, just look at it, see if anything's moving.
Okay, that's great. 1-800-449-8686.
We found 45%, by the way, the gentleman was asked about recruitment. We found 45% of our members at Jumbo's Clown Room, so,
And affiliated strip bars.
Yeah, affiliated strip bars up and down the San Fernando Valley.
All right, let's go over here to Greg now. Greg, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with General Jay Santos, Brigadier General Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Siphoning. How does that work?
What's that, sir?
Gas siphoning. I know you guys grab fuel whenever you need to.
We do need a
preferred method?
Yeah, we do need to requisition gas, and the best method is to get a moderate length of rubber hose, put that down into a gas tank, suck, and then when it comes into your mouth, spit it out, and then hope you've got a can there to put it in. Otherwise, it'll spill out onto the pavement, which is one of the things we found out early on. We would suck, swallow some of the gas, spit out the rest, and then the rest would pour out onto the street. So we got a can, and that was step two. As a matter of fact, you'd be interested to know, Greg, that Bill Kiesling, who's our sub-commander, he won the Red Sash of Distinguishment for figuring out that we needed to have a can there to get the gas into.
He won the what?
A Red Sash of Distinguishment. That's the third in our 6 metal system.
Beautiful. And is there a way to identify a vehicle which has a full tank of gas?
Identifying a vehicle with a full tank of gas generally constitutes someone who looks relaxed, doesn't look as if they're on their way to a gas station, weaving in and out. Pretty much any car that is motoring along in a non ostentatious manner, usually luxury vehicles have a full tank of gas.
We also have a requirement, by the way, Greg, if you join the Citizens Auxiliary Police and you do want to be on our siphoning squad, you may not smoke a cigarette for 3 minutes after swallowing gasoline.
Jay,
well, that's really great.
All you do, buddy.
All right, thanks, Greg. That's important, huh?
That is important, and I'll tell you why. This young man who I loved very dearly, we all remember him. He was a young man by the name of John Cobell. He was a patrolman with us. He was on our gas siphoning squad, and he swallowed some gasoline and lit a cigar.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. It just rained parts of him for days.
Whew. That's scary.
That is scary.
Now, can I ask you a question? You mentioned Bill Kiesling, who's your sub-commander.
One of our very hard-working members.
Okay, he won the Red Sash of Distinguishment.
That's correct.
For figuring out that you needed to have a can there after you siphoned.
Well, you got to understand, Phil, we wanted to requisition gasoline one night. We were siphoning. We spit out the gas. Go, holy jeez, I don't have anything to put it in. And Bill said, we need to go to the gas station and get a can. I said, you know something? That's great. And I'm going to personally recommend you for the Red Sash of Distinguishment. I remember it was a very emotional moment for all of us. And
well, what are the other medals that you get in the Citizens Auxiliary Police? You got the Red Sash of Distinguishment.
Yes, we have the Red Sash. We have the Honorary Honorable Medal. And, of course, one of the great cluster ribbon and honesty patch. But before you can get any of that, you have to get your merit badge in the three-step takedown. So it's really something else.
All right. By the way, anyway, in any event.
We had a sashing ceremony at Bob's Classy Lady, and that was great. Where Bill received his sash, yeah. Bob doesn't need anything, man. He owns a strip bar.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Moving on here to, hold on for a minute. I'm going to go to Aaron. Hello, Aaron. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. Jay, I wanted to ask you, during the Columbine shooting thing, you had a thing going on where you were giving the kids pizza and grape juice, and I was wondering how that could stop or help kids from killing themselves or killing each other at school.
Well, we found, Aaron, through a lot of the investigation that we did following Columbine, a lot of these kids were obviously bored, and a lot of them did not have young girls especially were more likely to commit a violent act. We knew that that violent act at Columbine was committed by young men, but we knew the young girls were the next, and we felt that if you gave pizza and grape soda to young women, they would be less likely to rape their own mothers. And so I hope that helps you.
Really?
The young girls would be less likely to rape their own mothers.
Right.
Do you find anything wrong with it?
What kind of pizza was it?
Kind of, just any kind of pizza. You get a, I think the Veggie Delight's nice pizza. The pineapple pizza from Domino's right now here is selling very well.
Uh-huh.
So,
young girls raping their mothers.
Right.
Do you find anything wrong with that statement?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right, Aaron, thank you.
Thanks.
1-800-449-8686. Gerard, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Brigadier General Santos.
Yes, sir.
Hi. I was just wondering if I could talk about Brigadier General Santos, the man, what he does when he's off duty, when he takes off his pith helmet and turns off his two-way radio. Do you watch any police movies? Do you have any police movies?
I don't want to interrupt you, Gerard, but that is the standard uniform.
Yeah, standard uniform, Citizens Auxiliary Police, was designed by Major Newton, is a pith helmet or a safari helmet. Is a Bermuda shorts, wingtips, and, of course, the blue armband.
Yes, the blue armband, which identifies you.
That is correct. And your question was my favorite what, Gerard?
I'm just wondering your favorite police movie. Like, do you like the Dirty Harry flicks or even Bad Lieutenant with Harvey Keitel?
Oh, I got to tell you, well, no, Bad Lieutenant, that's a sick, perverted bastard, that movie. No, now, the best movie, I think, for good hard-nosed police work... my favorite movie for best hard-nosed police work is RoboCop, but...
We don't have any robots.
We don't have robots, you're right. So the next movie I feel really is the best example of good hard-nosed police work is probably Speed.
With the bus going out of control?
Yeah, that guy crawling under that bus I think is terrific, just terrific the way he disarmed that bomb. That's good, solid, by-the-book police work, crawling under a speeding bus... and skinning half your ass off. So,
all right, Gerard, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Well, sweet General Santa.
You know, so I got to get going because I got to go watch Cops and play some video games. So,
okay. So thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, this is our music.
Yeah, this is the Citizens Auxiliary Police music.
You know, Elvis Newton, Major Elvis Newton, who has the red sash of distinguishment, the honorary honorable medal, he's got his honesty patch.
He's got his cluster with, he's got it all.
That's because he's the major, yeah. He picked this song.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization swings into action. It may be called the state police, troopers, militia, the rangers, or the highway patrol. These are the stories of the men who.
Why don't you guys just have that song remade so you don't have to yell over it?
And preserve.
Yeah, we gotta find a guy that can do that for us. God, I feel tough.
By the way, do you have any medals?
I got the honorary honorable medal, and I got my merit badge and three-step takedown.
All right. Thanks very much, Jay.
You bet, Phil. Remember, it's about saving lives.
Okay, there he goes. It's about saving lives. And don't forget that Jay Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police, we will have on as the Chandra Levy case continues to unfold, because I'm sure he has some other thoughts on that. But I understand they're having a special award ceremony tonight at Bob's Classy Lady. He's getting the honesty patch, whatever that is. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And we went and saw AI on Saturday. Gotta tell you, now, you know what? Steven Spielberg is entitled to blow a couple here and there. Just because the guy comes out with great movies, and all right, so he does an Amistad, so he does a, I don't know, what, Hook, or, well, he did another one, AI. It ain't there, man. Let me put it this way. I don't recommend this movie for anybody over the age of 15. I don't really believe that any adult is going to get off on this flick. Now, there's a lot of reasons why I don't dig the movie, but primarily it dissolves. I thought it was going to be a little more kind of a Blade Runner feel, kind of a dark futuristic view of man's relationship to this new entity, this thing called artificial intelligence, and how do we maintain our humanity, and just exactly how much of ourselves do we bestow upon a machine. I mean, I'm looking for high drama along the lines of what he was able to achieve with, like, Schindler's List or Saving Private Ryan. But the thing turned into a Steven Spielberg eye candy movie. It turned into Wizard of Oz. And Jude Law, great actor, but this cat played the Tin Man as he's sort of like, that was his part in this movie. He's playing the Tin Man as he leads little Haley Joel Osment along this journey of discovery to find the Blue Fairy. And it's easy to mock a movie when a guy dumps a whole lot of money into it and it don't exactly do what you want it to do. And I don't think the movie's doing too well now. I understand it lost a lot of business after the first week. It's just not a good movie. It's okay. Spielberg's a great director. He'll come back. He'll come back probably bigger than ever, but this thing ain't it. And I don't know why, and there'd be a lot of reasons, but you know, one of the things that if I may say this, there's a really cool movie that deals with the whole idea of artificial intelligence and can you make it human? And it came out in 1962, and it's called Creation of the Humanoids, one of my all-time favorite flicks. Nothing snazzy visually, really kind of wooden the way it's acted. It's like a teleplay almost. It looks like it was almost shot on videotape, but it's really spooky and eerie, and it's all about a futuristic society where 96% of the human race has been wiped out, so we have to create these humanoids. And they ask the question, it's very interesting, they not only ask the question, can you make a robot human, they ask this question, which has not been asked since this movie, by the way, and Spielberg completely avoided it because he probably didn't even think of it. Can you make a human a robot and still make him still retain his humanity? See what I'm saying, bud?
What?
Can you make a human a robot?
Yeah, what does that mean, anyway?
In other words, can you make a human being synthetic, and would he still be human?
How do you figure it?
Well, if you amputate a man's arm, does he have less of a soul? That was in Creation of the Humanoids, by the way.
If you take off his arm?
Yeah. What if you replaced his whole body? What if a guy's body wore out? So you replaced his body.
Now are you like a $6 million man?
Right, like the $6 million man. Bud, was he a man or was he a robot?
He a man.
He's a man, but he was half of his parts were fake.
Then he'd be a robot.
Well, then which is it? Is he a man or is he a robot?
I would say he a robot.
All right, why?
Because he's fake.
Well, not all of him.
Yeah, but most important part of fake.
Well, what do you mean the most important parts are fake?
Well, I think that the part of the body contain a soul. If that replaced you, a robot.
Well, the $6 million man still had his head, okay? He had his brain.
No, the penis.
Okay, you want to be a smartass?
No, really, really. The penis contain... Why can't the penis contain a soul?
That's the essential part of a human being that contains the soul. Not the brain, but the penis.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, what makes you think the penis contains a man's soul? And secondly, where'd you ever get the idea that the $6 million man lost his penis?
He had a bad injury. I naturally assumed.
Yeah, you naturally assumed. They must have had to replace that, huh?
Yeah. So?
Well, I don't know. So what are you asking me, the penis? Why would you say that?
Because if you think about it, everybody make a joke about it, but it's true. A man think as much with that as he do with a brain.
Yeah, maybe in your case a little bit more often, huh?
But the essence of a life come from a penis, and it...
Can we not talk about this? What is it you got to devolve into this? I ask a perfectly beautiful question. Can you make a man a robot and then make him a man again?
No.
Why not?
Because they don't have the technology.
Forget about whether they got the technology. Can you theoretically... Do you know what theoretically means?
Made up.
Yeah, made up. Can you pretend that you can make a robot into a man? Now I forget what it was.
Make a man a robot, but he'd be a man.
Yeah, make a man a robot, but is he still a man?
What about Lindsay Wagner?
Who's she?
Bionic woman.
Well, what about her?
Is she a man?
No, she's a woman.
Well, there you go.
Oh, come on, will you, bud, you idiot?
No, but if you think about it, you're asked a question and nobody...
Look, the guy asked it in Creation of the Humanoids. It's a really good question. If you amputate a man's arm, does that mean he has less of a soul? What if you replace his whole body? Is he still a man?
Darth Vader, more a robot than man. He lost a soul. He's a bad man bot. And does he have a penis?
Who?
The bionic woman.
Obviously not.
Then it's not a man.
Does the bionic woman have a penis?
No, you like everybody else want to say that the soul in the brain area.
I don't know where the soul is. I don't even know if there is a soul. I'm just saying, it's a good question.
I don't remember.
Well, if you had any kind of a memory, you'd remember. It's a good question. Can you take a man, turn him into a robot, and does he retain his humanity?
No.
You didn't even think about it.
I just answered, no.
Well, you're full of crap. How about that?
You're a bad man bot.
Yeah, that's me. I'm a bad man bot. Phil Hendry Show.
Robo host.